Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, we'll be discussing Julie's wild night out at the MTV Movie and TV Awards, as well as a major Meghan Markle appearance.
Angelina Jolie's unusual outing with Shiloh and Brad's week spent at the national parks. Plus, a Cindy Crawford-related surprise for George Clooney.
But first, last night Julie spent at, I'm actually not even sure where it was held, some auditorium. Where was it?
It was at the Shrine Auditorium, which is on the USC college campus.
And it was for the MTV Movie and TV Awards, and which like formerly known as the MTV Movie Awards, but I guess now they incorporated TV. And I only know this because when I watched on my DVR last night, they like kept making such a point of noting how like they were honoring TV shows this year. But Julie, how was it? I want to hear all about it.
I went in with a lot of reluctance. I would say it was like a Sunday afternoon. I didn't really feel like dressing up. But the great thing about the MTV Movie Awards is you can literally wear anything. I saw women in like jeans, full length pink fur coats, fedoras, people had t-shirts on, like men were wearing sparkly heels and like walking in them better than I can. Like,
because yeah, it's a confusing award show in that way. Like, I feel like even the celebrities were all dressed, like some were wearing, you know, like gowns and like, you know, nice suits, and then others were wearing t-shirts. I feel like it's a confusing attire for that award show.
Right, especially because it was pouring rain. So I had to run like three blocks in pouring rain. My hair was completely wet by the time I got in. It was not a good look. But it was a much nicer award show in terms of size, because the Shrine Auditorium only has like 6,000 seats, I guess. It felt very intimate, and it was nice because they had an open bar and concession stand.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous, because I feel like none of the award shows we've been to together or apart have had that before.
And I love the MTV Awards because no one makes a show of like putting away their cell phone at all. People just had their cell phones out the entire time, like even the nominees.
How many like teen moms did you bump into over the course of the night? Like, I feel like that must just be like a constant stream of like MTV D-list reality stars who are just like floating around the whole auditorium.
I realized that this was like really their night out. It was like their Oscars. I saw a couple of the original Teen Mom cast members like going up to the bar. One, I think it might have been like Amber Portwood, was wearing this white gown. Like, it looked very bridal. And you know what? It wasn't like her night, so why shouldn't she wear that? But it was a very interesting like intersection of celebrities,
which
including our girl Allison Williams, who like in my opinion deserves all of the MVP awards, because one, she was one of the biggest stars, but two, I was watching her, I was in the balcony and she was kind of on the floor at a table, and she just acted so engaged and happy for every single winner. She was really, really feeling it.
Could you get a sense of which celebrities the millennials and audience were most into? Like, was there anyone they got like really excited to see, or that when they came on stage, like freaked out?
I thought it was interesting that people talked through Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
That must have been your highlight, I assume.
That was
Martha
my highlight. Yeah. I like almost got up and started like shouting at people to turn like, I don't know.
I probably feel like 20% of that audience knew who Martha Stewart was, and that's like a generous prediction, I feel.
There was a guy behind me wearing a pink suit who like every award they would say like, and next up is best kiss or best hero, and this guy could not get over the fact that these were actually category names. I mean, I couldn't either. Pitbull, can we talk about Pitbull and why he always dances wearing gloves?
Wait, does he? I didn't even know that fun fact. Wait, like white gloves, like butler in a Buckingham Palace style?
It's like he's wearing OJ gloves while performing, like, amidst 20 scantily clad backup dancers.
And Camila Cabello came, like, falling from the ceiling, I saw. In, like, flames, maybe?
See, I didn't know who any of these people were either. I felt so old.
I mean, Miley's younger sister, did you see that? Well, that was also crazy to me. I'm like, I can't believe now we're on like another Cyrus who like is sort of beta B version of Miley. And now we're just like starting over. Like, we're all just going to do that. I don't really understand.
Did you watch? Were you?
Yeah, no, I DVR'd so I could like skim through certain elements.
You actually not fast forward.
Through, I watched like, I watched that whole intro. How did that play in the room? Because that was quite something. So for you, those of you who didn't watch, the host Adam Devine, how do you say his name? I don't know.
Unclear. He's from Workaholics.
He played. Yeah, he's from Workaholics. He played the Beast, and it was very I just feel like for that kind of award show, it was like weirdly a lot of production kind of elements, and they had Haley Steinfeld come out as Belle, then Rebel Wilson came on as that teacup woman.
Disney fans.
Yeah, Disney
outrage.
Fans. And like
Mrs. Potts.
Oh yeah, Mrs. Potts. But like the whole thing was bizarre, kind of, and it like wasn't super funny per se, or at least funny isn't the word I would necessarily, you know, wasn't the first adjective that was coming to mind. And then Josh Gad was involved, who was in, I guess, Beauty and the Beast, the movie. So I guess that made some crossover sense. But how did people react to that opening in the room?
It was very disconcerting for me because I wasn't really excited to get there. I was getting there after they had already shut the doors, cutting it closed. I had just run through pouring rain. It never rains in Los Angeles, so I was not prepared. I had like my leather jacket.
Yeah, what were you wearing? Leather jacket.
Leather jacket, heels, and like a black stretchy jumpsuit that
ooh,
is casual. Yeah. So anyway, I run in and the security guard wasn't going to let me into the balcony.
Oh,
so
wow.
I know he said I was going to have to wait.
I'm sure you were so heartbroken to miss any of it.
But so I ran down to the other door just because I thought this is going to be like the most exciting part of the show. And the girl said, no, you can't come in. I said, well, I'm just going to walk past you. You know, you did your job. You said that I can't go past, but yeah. I like busted in. I had to break in. So I'm wet, completely wet. I open this door and then whatever his name is, Adam Devine, is in a Beast. It was very, very confusing.
You're like, did I walk into the like community theater like door by like at USC's campus by accident?
Stage was like on fire. There were dancers, like chandeliers on their head. I was very confused.
You know who was loving it though? Because I don't know if they showed cutaways where from where you were sitting, but Emma Watson was having a blast.
That was another issue for me, just because
another, as if there's only, I mean, how many can we list in the amount of time we have?
They started out with Beauty and the Beast, this whole production. Haley Steinfeld was in the audience,
Belle, yeah.
Ball gown, bells, went up there, and then they announced the first award, which was Best Actor in a Movie. And it was Emma Watson, who is Belle. I don't know. It just felt like very staged.
Oh, so you think they knew? Well, yeah, I feel like these are the kind of award shows where I always imagine they tell the celebrities to come because they're going to win something. I don't think like Taraji P. Henson's like good dream Sunday night is coming to watch Noah Cyrus sing. But they were like, oh, Hidden Figures is going to win whatever that award was. Wow, so what a night you had. I kind of wish you had gotten a selfie with Vin Diesel, but, you know, I guess there's nothing.
Me too. But my MVP of the evening was I went to the ladies room and there was this girl. This was like 20 minutes into the show, just napping on this couch in like the women's lounge area. Could not be bothered. Did not care who won, you know.
And it was Emma Watson. No, just kidding. That sounds actually like an idyllic way to spend the night and probably quiet.
Right. I don't know. So next year we'll go together.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that is the time to get wild. We could do like matching looks, I feel. Or we could do Beauty and the Beast. So next year, that won't be cool.
I feel like we would also, it would be good to do like a Brad and Angie. Remember when they did the matching tuxes?
Oh, yeah. I feel like, do we want to waste that look on the MTV Movie and TV Awards? Speaking of couples that made their grand debuts, or something like that. Speaking of couples not quite as glamorous as Josh and Julie, Meghan Markle. So we haven't checked in with Meghan for a bit, and I know some of our listeners have been upset about that, but it's as if Meghan knew and she was, you know, yearning for us to discuss her once again, because she went to not one, but both days of a polo tournament this weekend that Prince Harry was participating in. Which, Julie, how into someone do you have to be to not go to just one day of a polo tournament, but you go to both days just to watch them? But you don't even get to talk to them. You just have to watch them running around on this horse. But
right, I know. If you were playing, I'm trying to decide how much of that tournament I would go to.
Yeah, I would just, like, you know, put in my 1 minute of FaceTime, then hit the bar. But but she looked the part. What did you make of this whole? I mean, there were so many photos. She was wearing these sunglasses. She had this kind of white chic jacket hanging off her shoulders. And the other notable thing about the weekend was that a lot of the British papers that wrote this up noted that she was standing next to this man named Mark, who is like known to be Harry's second father. Like, he's a very important figure in Harry's life. So the fact that she was, like, right next to him and watching was a big deal. And then also they were photographed kissing after this stuff on Sunday. Like, kind of weirdly, like, they were between two cars outside in some parking lot area. It's my feeling that they must have known. At this point, Harry has a pretty good sense, I'm sure, having been to a million polo matches, that, you know, the photographers and paparazzi come to, like, where you can kiss someone and be caught and where you can kiss someone and not be caught. So my feeling was, like, this was all a very strategic weekend of, like, Meghan Harry-ness to kind of get the public feeling more comfortable with them. But what was your feeling about all of this?
Well, more comfortable, especially considering Pippa's wedding is in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. So it's right. So it seemed to me like a strategic sort of, you know, this wedding's happening in 2 weeks. We have to get used to this. I mean, I saw some people saying maybe they're already engaged and they're just keeping it a secret, that, like, somehow this is very serious, and that this all the shenanigans this weekend were of a very clear, guys, these two are here to stay and it's on. But maybe it wasn't that strategic. I don't know. I always feel bad assuming somehow that everything is so, like, Machiavellian, like, plot out, you know?
I feel like if they were actually engaged, that would have been leaked somehow, right?
Yeah, like, implying, no, that's true. And I guess we've talked about this before, but, like, the idea of them getting engaged before Pippa's wedding seems kind of a little bit of a one-upping thing that wouldn't quite be looked at in a great way.
I could see, like, Harry proposing, not realizing that you're not supposed to do that, like, right before someone's wedding, and then, like, Meghan or the palace telling them that they have to keep it under wraps. Yeah. That is a good call. Like, guys, Harry didn't think that through.
Yeah, Harry's like, wait, why? Why would Pippa care? Like, Pippa will be fine. Pippa's never cares. Pippa's chill.
What do you think Harry's proposal strategy is going to be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this weekend really made me feel, I was looking at the, like, awkward 30 photos of the two of them, like, embracing and kissing, and I was kind of, I don't know, there's this something, and I don't know why, Julie, but there's something in the back of my head that still doesn't quite feel like it's all going to work out. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's all very fast, I guess. I don't know. Still hasn't been a year since they've been together. Who knows what any of them are really thinking or doing, but
the independent woman in me almost wants to advise Meghan, like, are you really sure you want to give up your lifestyle blog? Are you really sure you want to give up your Instagrams, like, for Harry? Is he really worth it? And she's going to have to give up her career on Suits.
And, like, I was looking at her in this whole kind of persona, like, doing the whole Kate Middleton of, you know, you're in the audience at the polo match, and, like, I don't know. I'm like, is that going to be thrilling to you in 5 years, Meghan? You know? I mean, like, maybe. But I just want her to, yeah, exactly. I have the exact feeling you have. I just want to make sure, hopefully she has a good support system and they're, like, doing the devil's advocate routine on her.
Oh my gosh. I wish there was a movie where you, like, flew in, you intervened. Like, does anyone have any objections to this man and woman getting married?
Meghan, like, remember how much you liked Roger, you know, Wormwood from, like, Camp?
Like, we're going to have to crowdfund a plane ticket for you when they finally do get wedding, because you're going to be the one who stands up in that church with the objection.
See, I'd feel better about all of this if it was half and half. Like, the weekends they weren't doing this, he was going to watch her on set on Suits, or like he was taking her to the farmer's market. I mean, maybe they are doing those things and they aren't photographed, but like...
Right, because you know that TMZ cameraman got that assignment and he was like, no, I'm sick. He does not want to go to the Suits set.
There's never been a photo taken on the Suits set. They can't get any paparazzi to do it. I mean, obviously we're only seeing certain moments of a probably very complex, multi-layered relationship, I'm sure. But this just doesn't, I don't know. She's so in the like role. Also, I think it's partly also it's taking me 8 years when I'm watching The Crown season one still.
What are you doing? Are you like stopping every 5 minutes?
I watch one episode every like 4 months. I was waiting for, I don't know. It was like watching with my parents. We were kind of waiting to watch it together. Anyway, I watched episode like this past weekend where Princess Margaret, the queen's sister, she like makes her whole plea to be with this guy, Peter Townsend. And then Elizabeth is like, no, like eventually. I mean, she kind of wants her to be with him, but then she's like, no, you can't do it. Like, overshadows what I'm doing. And I was like, wow, this is so many modern parallels here.
Well, it's not just overshadows what she's doing. It's there's the whole issue of like Catholic Church, and you can't get married to someone who's been divorced.
Yeah, I just glossed over like 800 years of like important like church history. There's like legitimate reasons of like why they didn't want them to be together, but I just kept
Queen
thinking,
Elizabeth, that like attention hound, could not bear be at stake.
That was part of it, though, wasn't it? I mean, they hinted it in the show. Who knows if that actually happened in real life? Like, everywhere they go, everyone was taking pictures of Peter Townsend, and all the girls were like cheering for him. And I was kind of thinking how like it's like how Meghan's gonna get all this attention at Pippa's wedding more than probably like, you know, Kate and William and whoever else.
Right. I don't know. Meghan has a career going for herself. She had all these, didn't she have like sponsorship deals that she had to give up for Harry?
Yeah, she was doing like, God, how do I forget what this was? It's something very like specific.
Substantial. So
not the word I was going to use. She's like doing like not stationary, but I feel like she wasn't working for a postal office. That's so wrong. But it was like something like that. It's something so weird. Like when you, I'll find it. We'll talk about this in the next episode.
She had postal. Like, she was delivering mail. Can you picture her driving one of those white trucks?
Like, it's so not that. It's like, I thought maybe she worked for her parents' party planning service. Maybe it's like a PR office. Gosh, we'll look up next time. Also, you've had an interesting Meghan link that someone scavenged up this photo of her in a wedding dress from like this romantic comedy she was in.
Was it from a romantic comedy? I looked at the headline and then
didn't even bother skimming past that. Just like a Meghan mobile over there. But yeah.
A Meghan gossip drive-by.
I don't know. This wedding isn't... I'm feeling like stressed out. I don't know. See, I feel like I need to just get all in and get excited for Meghan, which I will. And I know, you know, I'm sure all's great. I just want to make sure she's making the right choice. It's just because I'm looking out for her is really what's going on.
I really want to hear what like our listeners think. Do we think Meghan's making the right decision? Are you guys as concerned as Josh is?
Yeah. And like, what did you think of the polo photos? I don't know. She looked to be, you know, honestly, she's an actress, who knows? But she looked to be having a good time at the polo match. What do you think?
Wow. Well, you were actually at a Prince Harry polo match. How exciting was it?
I did not watch one thing happening in the match. I tried to get someone to explain it to me and then turned right to the champagne. Because, like, it's so confusing. And by the way, super violent. Like, you kind of, like, bang the horses. And, it, like, I had flashbacks to back in the day when my parents took me to the circus and I had to make them leave because I didn't like how they were treating the elephants. Like, I find that stuff really hard to watch. Like, I'm like, are the horses enjoying this? So,
right.
It was hard for me to handle. All right, let's move on to Angelina Jolie. What was Angelina Jolie up to this weekend? It was very unusual.
I really loved this story. So last week, as you guys know, Brad Pitt did his first interview. Mm-hmm. It was with GQ, first interview since the divorce. And he kind of talked about the family and his drinking problems, but he was all over the internet last week. Mm-hmm. And then I love that Angelina kind of countered that by going to a Renaissance fair with Shiloh. And so you read the headline, and the headline is like one thing, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But then TMZ has a photo that just everybody should stop what they're doing right now and type in TMZ Angelina Jolie Ren Faire, because there's a photo of Angelina in like full black aviator sunglasses, head to toe, like black gothic wear boots in this Renaissance fair. So there are all these women in like medieval flowing dresses, and she's holding a huge turkey leg.
And she looks really happy, which I think, you know, why wouldn't she look happy? She has this turkey leg, but like she...
I love on the script it says in all caps from Josh, and why wouldn't you be happy if you were Angelina Jolie and had a turkey leg in your hand?
It's a hard question to respond to. Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty great. The combo of being Angelina Jolie and holding the turkey leg.
But it's like, whose idea was it to go to the Renaissance Fair? Does she look through the newspaper? Like, what's going on in Los Angeles this week?
Yeah, and also I was confused. It was also an interesting element to this report that TMZ was explaining that they didn't know. So they identified Shiloh, but then there was other kids there, but they couldn't identify if the other kids were other Angelina children, as if Angelina just picked up a group of school kids and like brought them to the Renaissance Fair. Like how is this so hard to identify? Like, I was so confused.
They're like the most documented children.
I know. But like, they know for sure Shiloh was there. But yeah, a really interesting choice. Angelina at a Renaissance Fair. I guess it makes some sense. If I was going to say she would, you know, it's not the most discordant celebrity plus location combo I've ever come across, right? I mean, she kind of was dressed in that black garb.
What is then?
If you told me Angelina took them to like, I don't know, where would be super weird?
Oh, you're going to have to finish this out.
Like a roller skating rink, or like a, I was about to say bubblegum field, but that's not like a thing. Like, I don't know, something like super jolly, you know, or the batting range, the golf range. Or actually, I could kind of see that.
Batting cages.
Like, that would be unusual. This kind of seems like thematic. I could see them dressing. Don't they like to dress up? Remember when they all designed her wedding dress? Like, they all get up to that weird artistic stuff. But I don't know. The turkey leg threw me off. Is that like a... Have you been to a Renaissance Fair, Julie?
No, but I really want to go like next weekend with you and just recreate that entire experience.
If anyone's been, like, let us know on Twitter or whatever. Like, what? How? Like, I don't get it. Like, what's the purpose of the turkey leg?
And I also want to know the intersection between Renaissance cosplayers, Renaissance Fair people, and like Angelina Jolie fans. Was there anyone there that was super pumped to like see the joust and see Angie?
Funny too that I bet, you know, it's actually probably a good place for her to go, because I just highly doubt that many people there have any clue who Angelina Jolie is. I mean, maybe I'm making wildly, you know, baseless assumptions about, I don't even know. I barely even know what a Renaissance Fair is. But like, the fact that people there is just, so the sense I got from the TMZ photos, I'm like, this does not look like a scene of anyone who's that up on like the current goings on in the world of celebrity and pop culture.
You know what?
Julie. What's happening? That was the craziest noise I've ever heard. It sounded like it got modulated like a crazy alien. I actually kind of want to keep that because it's so crazy. Is that what it's going to sound like, Jordan? Oh my goodness. That was so scary. It's like channeling Angelina Jolie and like her scariest witch vibe. Oh my God. Okay.
Maybe that was Angelina like mentally taking over my body and trying to send you a message. But I can't see her. The thing I can't see her doing would be taking the kids to play miniature golf and then doing all 18 holes with the kids.
I can't see that either. Wait, so what did you make of the Brad pictures? Did you see them in the GQ style piece?
I think you and I both had the same thought, which was like, wow, he had a lot of time on his hands.
To do an 8-day photo shoot. Julie and I both know from doing these kind of the high profile of a celebrity kind of assignments that 8 days, that's a long shoot for any celebrity to agree to. So, Yeah.
Like, for a star of that caliber, they're usually very reluctant to give up, like, a half day.
So the fact that he was willing to do an eight-day tour de force, he must have seen it as a cathartic thing for him.
I mean, it looked that way. He was really getting into the shoes. Like, he was in sand pits. He was really getting physical about it.
And then before we move on from Brangelina, I was reading the story this weekend. I just loved this little passage. So they asked, it's written as a Q&A. So the interviewer says, do you see yourself as having been successful, like, over the course of his career? So Brad says, I wish I could just change my name. That's his answer. So then the interviewer says, come out as a new person. And then Brad says, like P. Diddy, I can be Puffy now. Or what is Snoop now? Lion? I just felt like Brad was a misnomer. And now I just feel like fucking Brad. It's like the saddest thing I've ever read. I actually like screenshotted this immediately. And I was like, wow, I really am. I can't believe I'm like feeling things reading this like Brad Pitt Q&A. That doesn't happen that often to me.
Brad Pitt, I felt bad that one, he moved in with his friend and slept on the floor. Doesn't he have a friend with a fold-out couch?
And then was that really weird? Did you read that part also where he said, like, and then TMZ got documented? Or, like, somehow they figured out where he was staying?
But it was more intense than TMZ, but they didn't know I was behind the wall. Right. There was something weird going on there. And then
Who do we think this friend is that he was staying with? To house Brad Pitt in his, like, moment of need and, like, high secrecy. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
I know, but who is Brad Pitt's friend who can't afford, like, a fold-out couch? Who lives in, like, a one-bedroom?
Yeah, good point. That's a weirdly unremarked upon part of that story, that Brad Pitt would have a friend that he would be crashing with, that he was good enough friends with to do that, but that who wouldn't have, like, a guest room?
Couldn't he get, like, a sleeping bag? I don't know. I was really, really concerned about that. And his dog, Jacques, I was into.
Oh, yeah, his, like, companion really through it all.
But then I love that, like, this reporter comes in and Brad just happens to be making green tea. Do you think he staged that beforehand because he wanted the whole gist of the piece to be about, like...
I thought that was a little much. Also, you always wonder with these kind of pieces, you know, all the stuff about not drinking and going to therapy. Like, you know, I feel like he had his stuff he wanted to get in there, you know. He's definitely going for this whole, like, I'm in this period of transition and, like, you know, introspection and kind of deep gratitude for the world around me. And I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no reason not to believe it, but.
I wish GQ had asked him if he'd been in touch with Jen.
Yes. Oh, my God. I know. I wonder if Jen read the interview. Do you think she did?
I think she definitely did, right?
Yeah, like while Justin Theroux was out doing his Barry's boot camp class. I also...
Well, wait, did you think that he just plays Call of Duty and Jennifer Aniston gets really kind of weirded out? Because that's like his social night. He did some interview where he...
Yeah, when he's playing Call of Duty, she's like scrolling through the slideshow of Brad Pitt at the national parks. She's like, Brad's sculpting. She's like, he's a man of a renaissance man of artistic and, you know, I don't know. Justin better watch out. Speaking of friends of Brad, someone's a friend who should have given Brad his house because, like, he's in London, so it should have been
one occupied. Of his houses. I feel like this guy has...
George Clooney is who we're talking about. He had a surprise birthday over the weekend, and it's kind of a cute, interesting tale of how Amal Clooney surprised him, which I haven't seen actually get that much coverage yet, but maybe it will the rest of the day on the internet. But Julie, do you want to set the scene?
George and Amal, who's pregnant, were in London. It was his birthday, I think 52nd birthday. Does that sound right? It wasn't like a big milestone birthday, but Amal coordinated with his best friend, Randy Gerben. Randy Gerber and his wife, Cindy Crawford, to fly out on the DL. And I guess when George came home, and this is the part where I have some questions, Randy was on the lawnmower.
Yeah, so it says here in the E! News report, it says Randy came from around the bushes driving George's lawnmower and pulled up beside George's car while Cindy was nearby in the garden cutting fresh flowers.
Like, this must be an inside joke, something about gardening. This must be.
And by the way, you can find this photo on Cindy Crawford's Instagram. Like, you can see Randy and like on the lawnmower while Cindy's like doing the flowers. And then luckily the source tells the news. George was totally surprised. Yeah, there must be some backstory there. Otherwise, it's such a weird surprise, no?
Another eyebrow-raising detail of the story was that Amal like commissioned a birthday cake that replicated like the Casamigos tequila logo or something.
Yeah, and like, I'm sorry, my sense of Amal is not jiving with this whole story. I was just reading this e-report about the surprise from Cindy and Randy. They posted some photo. They were all on this boat together. And then the cake, and I was like, this does not seem like Amal's bag. Just the idea of her dealing with the cake even seems strange to me.
Right, but I feel like she would have done some sort of classy chocolate without, like, branding.
Yeah, like, without the tequila branding. Also, like, she, I mean, not to mention all of this she's doing, presumably, while she's, like, 8 months pregnant or something. She must be very close to having the kids, right?
Right. Do you have any idea of what they're going to name the twins? Like, if you were to bet $1 million...
I have this feeling today one's going to be named, I don't know why this like came to me, but I thought one's going to be named Oliver. It just seems right. Oliver Clooney sounds good too, kind of. Julie's shaking her head right now with like so much disdain. And then it's a boy and a girl, right? Or I just assume it's going to be a boy and a girl. I guess we don't even, do we know?
I don't think we know.
I don't know. I'm not sure for the girl. I'm going to say Oliver and Chloe. What do you say? That I gave such like, I took that so seriously. I feel like you're really expecting some.
There's no chance that Amal Clooney is going to name her Oscar Chloe. I think maybe something with like a middle name of Rosemary for George's aunt, who I think he was close to.
I like
if it's a girl.
I like the research elements here.
Right. Oh, by the way, Josh, I didn't get to tell you, I went bowling on Sunday night and I had just missed Kim and Kourtney Kardashian.
What? Wait, that's like, talk about burying the lead of this whole podcast. We're going to have to re-record the whole thing now.
No, it was like
just missed them.
It was a very fancy like LA bowling alley where they had waiters coming to your...
Oh, right. I feel like I kind of like after many glasses of wine snapped you about this. Didn't you snap some celebrity related thing that Vin Diesel or someone had some trophy there?
A bunch of people like signed bowling pins. And of course, Vin Diesel didn't just sign it. He wrote like only strikes for me, Vin.
You had a very Vin heavy weekend this weekend.
Right. But I was chatting with the bartender because they have all of the security at the bowling alley, which just seems very weird. And I asked if there was like a lot of crime there. And he was like, you would be surprised.
What?
And I said, well, who was the last celebrity that you got really excited about? And he said, well, you just missed Kim and Kourtney. And I could not believe it. They were in the first alley. I said, are they good bowlers?
Yeah. What do you say?
He said no. He said they didn't seem like they were that into the game.
Wow, he was not like, I feel like sometimes these like vendors try to like praise, but he was throwing them right under the bus. Also, I love that you were there later than Kim and Kourtney. Like, you guys were the main event.
I know, but there was also like a party of 8-year-olds who lasted longer than we did. So
I wonder who Kim and Kourtney were with. Is it like a really chic, fancy bowling alley?
No, it's the same bowling alley that is in my hometown, except because it's in LA with proximity to celebrities. They have like security. There was this guy there who I think wanted to look like Chris Brown wearing gold contact lenses. It was intense. Gosh.
He sounds like he should have gotten there at the time that Kim and Kourtney were there to like make his plea.
I don't know. But next time you're out here, we have a whole list of activities
we need
to do.
Yeah, we really do. So that's a good question. Would you rather bowl with Kim and Kourtney or be invited to George Clooney's surprise party?
Oh, I was going to say Renaissance Fair.
Oh, or go with Angelina to the Ren Fair.
What about you? I feel like you would rather go bowling. Especially knowing that Kim and Kourtney were more like talking than actually bowling.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've never been a big bowling champion. Surprise, surprise. I feel like the Renaissance Fair with Angelina would be more of kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. But you know, I wouldn't say no to any of them. Wow, neither of us said Clooney. All right.
Well, I feel like I would just be the fifth wheel because, like, George and
they're
so close with Randy and Cindy.
Oh, we didn't
what
talk,
am I gonna?
We didn't talk about one last thing to for a closing note that happened over the weekend that we were both that shook us to our cores over the weekend, which is that
you use that phrase so much. I think it like
I know, and so- as I just said it, I'm like I'm so overusing that just so as to. And I did that with something else recently. Oh, like I once said on the podcast, I never say anything's iconic, and then I noticed like someone called me out on it in a blog post or something that I've used the word a few times. Reese Witherspoon posted a photo of her, Nicole Kidman, and Laura Dern, and she said she clearly knew what she was doing. I mean, she wrote as her caption, spending Sunday fun day with these ladies working on some new lies. Why would you write that unless somehow you knew there was going to be a second season? I guess E! News and other outlets were, I guess, told by HBO that it has nothing to do with a follow-up season, that this is just for a photo shoot they were doing. It could be for, like, I was thinking an Emmys for Your Consideration kind of photo shoot or something like that. Wow, Julie is giving a very suspect look right now.
But I don't think Reese Witherspoon would, like, bait Big Little Lies fans like us that much. She did tell me, or Laura Dern said they were looking to follow up. Somehow, maybe it won't be a second season. Maybe
it doesn't. It doesn't feel like Reese. I agree. I feel like Reese is a straight shooter, you know? Like, I just sort of feel like she's going to tell me. I don't know. This doesn't feel good to me. I want Reese to either tell me it's happening or tell me it's not happening. Also, I noticed Shailene Woodley commented on it with, like, hearts. I don't know. The whole thing was like kind of intriguing. And then all the
right. Why isn't Shailene part of this?
And well, that's the thing. I don't know. And then all the comments were like season two. So I don't know. They know what they're doing. And it just for some reason, it like made me stressed out. I was like, pick a, you know, yes or no. But maybe they don't know.
I don't know either.
Wow. We're really ending this on like a note of despair.
Josh ends this part of the script saying, in all caps, don't toy with us, Reese, followed by like 30 exclamation points. So I agree with that. I really hope.
There's a funny.
But I don't think she would.
Someday we'll post our script. I keep making promises that we never keep, by the way. I always say we're going to post this and do that. Never once have we posted anything. But it's not, like our scripts, I always feel like we let out are like the deepest, darkest inner kind of angst we have. And then we try to channel it here and make it lighter. Oh, all right. At the risk of going into further self-analysis, that does it for the week. This week's In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. And please remember to rate, review us, leave us notes. There was so much, actually, I feel like, this episode to get feedback on. What do you think is going on with Megan? What else?
Definitely what you think is going on with Megan. If you think they're already engaged. If you've ever had an entertaining experience watching polo.
Or at a Renaissance fair. Also, let us know what you think of Reese's Instagram. And I feel like I get so somber talking about that.
Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm at Jay Duboff. We also have an Instagram, In the Limelight Pod. This episode was produced by Jordan Bell and edited by Afim Shapiro. Thanks to Andy Bowers at Panoply. Thanks for joining us. And we will talk to you next week. Until then, no bad energy.